All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is where I would like you to turn in your Bibles this evening. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. We're going to take a break this evening from the overview of the Bible. We would have been in the book of Lamentations, but tonight we're going to be in 2 Timothy 2 because the Lord laid something on my heart that I want to share with you. I believe the Lord would have me share it with you. And it comes from verse 24 through 26 of 2 Timothy. It has a relation to what we read in John 8 for the scripture reading. But in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul, obviously writing to Timothy, says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." Now notice this next part. "If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." I want to preach a message to you tonight that I've entitled "The Need of the Hour." The need of the hour. And what I would share with you is the need of the hour is we need to pray for repentance. We need to pray for repentance. Well, what is repentance? A very simple way to put it, this is my definition, and I think it's accurate based on what we find in Scripture, repentance is it is a change of mind that results in a change of action. Okay? Now, I add that last part in there about it results in a change of action, even though I believe that that last little part is superfluous. In other words, you don't need to say that results in a change of action because a change of mind, if it's a true change of mind, will result in a change of action. Sometimes people think repentance is doing right or turning from one thing to another, and that's true, but the basis behind it is a change of mind. The truth needs to get up here. The reason I don't do right is a lie is up here. I need the truth to make me free to do right. And the truth will do that. I need repentance. I need a change of mind that results in a change of action. And let me show you that in verse 25. It says, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Truth is paired with it. Repentance means the acknowledging of the truth. It's my thinking is wrong and it needs to be flipped. Now, by the way, that's not something I can do on my own. That's why so many times as Christians we struggle with sin. We know it's wrong. We even regret it many times when we're done, but yet we go back to it again and again. The Bible likens it to a dog returning to his vomit. The problem is that our thinking up here is wrong. And there's a lot of different parts of that, and we can go into a whole message just about that. But our thinking up here is wrong. We need repentance. We need God to straighten us out in our thinking. We're not acknowledging the truth. We're living according to a lie when we continue in sin. And we need repentance. It is the need of the hour. Our text says here that those who need repentance are taken captive by Satan at his will. And boy, we see that all around us, don't we? Satan just plays with society. It's sad to watch. And it's heartbreaking for us as Bible-believing Christians to watch people get played by Satan so easily. But boy, they do. You see, they are taken captive because Satan has convinced them of a lie. Remember that in John 8, Jesus said that Satan is a liar from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, and he has deceived them into a lie. We won't go to Genesis chapter 3. We don't have the time for it, but I'm assuming you know the story and are familiar with the story there where when the wicked one tempted Eve, he convinced her that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a fruit to be desired to make one wise. It was pleasant to the eyes, etc., etc. Her thinking got changed because she listened to the lie of Satan when she should have abode in the truth of what God had said. And Satan got her involved in a lie, and then she was taken captive by him. You see, God's truth is the only hope to outdo the lie of Satan. Again, we talk about it, we look at our world, and especially in the United States of America, politically things are just a mess, aren't they? And not only politically, but socially, everything is just it's a mess. And while I appreciate the groups that try to educate young people about the history of our nation and the wonderful greatness of our Constitution, and I think it is great, and I'm thankful for it and all those things, I want you to understand the answer is not just to educate people about the Constitution. The answer is they need the truth of God's Word. If they'll get the truth of God's Word, believe me, they'll be much more in line with the Constitution. And I'm not trying to say the Constitution is perfectly aligned with God's Word. It's not. But it's a lot better than most other things that we encounter in our day and age, right? If they will think according to God's Word, then all of the ills in society will be straightened out. Listen, you know, the big push right now is end racism, right? Listen, if people will get into the truth of God's Word, racism wouldn't exist. God's Word deals with it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Boom, it's done. God's truth is the answer for society. Repentance is a gift from God. Remember here in our text that repentance is said to God, that is something that God grants them. And it makes sense when you understand what repentance is, that it's my thinking needs to be changed. Only God can change my thinking. I need God to do that. It is a gift from God. And because it's a gift from God, friends, it's something we ought to pray for. God is the one who gives good gifts. James chapter 1, I believe, verse 17. Every good gift comes from Him. We ought to pray for this. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2. We're in the introduction. We'll get to the main part of the message real soon. But Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. Proverbs 2, verses 3 to 5. Talking about wisdom, which, by the way, is just God's truth. It's the wisdom that comes from God. Only God can give it. And so we're taught to seek after it and cry after it in Proverbs 2, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If I want the truth of God, which is mentioned as wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all of that, those are different names and different aspects of the truth of God. I have to seek for it. I have to search for it. It has to become precious to me. And when it's precious to me, here's what I will do. I will pray for it. So the need of the hour is repentance. And I want to share that with you because I want us, and I hope that God will lay it on your heart like He's laid it on my heart. This is what we ought to be praying for. And I want to share with you three different areas where we ought to pray for it. Let's pray right now. And then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach to Your people. Lord, it is a privilege and an honor, and I ask that You would enable me to preach with power and authority, not so that people would think much of me or even come over to my side of my way of thinking, but Lord, rather so that Your truth would be proclaimed with power and authority, that we would all, from every person in the pews here, to the people watching on live stream, to those listening later, and including myself, Lord, that we would all submit to Your truth, that Your truth would make us free. Lord, I pray that You would, even tonight, in this message, grant us repentance, to turn from our way of thinking, to have our change of mind so that we think according to Your Word, that the truth would make us free tonight. Holy Spirit, I know You can do that, and I ask that You would, in Jesus' name, amen. So, three areas where we ought to pray for repentance. The first one is really what the Lord laid upon my heart, this area of repentance, is I need to pray for repentance in my own life, or repentance for me. And you can put your name in there. You need to pray for repentance for you. And you might say, but Pastor, I'm not living in any gross sin. Why would I need to pray for repentance? Because again, remember, repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. We need God's truth to penetrate our mind and take over our way of thinking, to flip our way of thinking from the world and the flesh and the devil to God's word. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't just pray. We also get into God's word. If we want God's truth, it's found in these pages. So read your Bible, et cetera, et cetera. But friends, reading the Bible just to read it is not enough. I need God to get this in here. Because again, remember, the Old Testament Jews had God's word. They loved God's word. The scribes, it was their life to write it out. The lawyers who tempted Jesus, it was their job in life to study and know the Mosaic law. And yet, they didn't have repentance. So I need to pray about these things and seek for these things as I look in God's word. And I need to do that. You need to do that. Why? Because many times we struggle with some things. Let me lay just a couple of things out there. Sometimes Christians struggle with sin that they know is sin. And I mentioned that in the introduction. That we know is sin and yet we go after it again and again. Why? Friends, the reason is because our thinking is wrong. And we need God to grant us repentance in that area. Now, again, I could preach really a whole message about this, and we can go to Romans and look at what Romans says about we're dead with Christ, we're risen with Him, all of those things, we're a new creature in Christ, sin does not have dominion over us, all of that. But without going into all the details, I just want to lay it out before you that if you're struggling in an area of sin in your life, take it to the Lord, confess it as sin, lay it out honest before Him. Don't hold back. Name it as sin. Name the sin itself privately between you and God. God, this is what I am guilty of. And God, it is sin. It is contrary to your word, and it's wrong. And then ask God, God, I need repentance for that specific thing. God, I don't understand why or how, or I don't know what the deal is, but something's wrong in my thinking. God, I'm messed up in the way I'm going about life. God, grant me repentance. Please, Lord, I need it. And God, I can't change myself, but you can change me. God, I'm begging you for repentance in this area of my life. And friends, if you'll seek for it as for treasure and for hidden treasure and gold and all that, like Proverbs 2 says, God will grant it to you. Remember what Jesus said, and we read it this morning, and I believe it was Matthew 5, that if we ask for anything that is good, or it was Luke 11, if we ask for anything that's good, He is not going to give us something bad. If you're asking for righteousness and asking for living a holy life, God will grant it to you. It is His promise. Now, here's the funny thing about the human mind. It's not a once and done. Because we live in a world where the thinking is contrary to God's word. Would you agree with that? Amen. Boy, if there's ever a time that we've been able to say amen to that, it's now. I mean, you can just see it all around. It is so contrary to God's word. We are weird when we think according to God's word. So God will grant you to repentance, but if you begin to walk in this world for any length of time again, the tendency is going to be to go back to the worldly and fleshly way of thinking. You're going to need to make this a constant thing. God, again, as I read your word, give me repentance. Grant me that I would think like you think. We need to pray about that for known sin. Here's another area. If your life is weak in the area of service to God, pray for repentance about that. Ask God to change your way of thinking about service. Here's another area about love for God and love for others. Do you find yourself that you're cold towards God? Friends, it's really an issue of thinking. We think of love often as an emotional thing, but you know that love is not really just an emotional thing. We think of love often as something where, well, I fall in love with someone or fall out of love with someone. Again, that's proof of worldly thinking. That's not God's word. God's word shows us that love is a choice. We all need to remember that in our marriages, don't we? It is a choice. And if you are not in love with your spouse right now, that's because your thinking is wrong. I want to encourage you with that. Pray that God would change my thinking towards my spouse. Lord, change it. And help me to see that person as you do, and help me to love them as you do. But not just with our spouse. Listen, it's with anybody. And it's even with God. The only reason we would not love God is because we are thinking wrong. You see, because we love Him because He first loved us. And we need to pray. Say, be honest with God. God, I don't love you as I ought. And we don't like to say that. But if it's true, we need to speak the truth. God, I don't love you like I should. My heart is cold. God, would you grant me repentance? There's no reason why I shouldn't love you deeply. Why you shouldn't be the love of my life. God, change my thinking. Grant me repentance. That my thinking would be in accordance with your word. Pray about those things. The same with, again, love for others. Let me ask you this question. Do you love your fellow church members? Not just the ones that are like you, you know, the perfect ones. The ones that are not like you and that are a little hard to get along with. Yes, by the way, some of you are hard to get along with. I won't point names or point you out or mention names. Sometimes, a lot of times, I'm hard to get along with. Don't say amen. Don't laugh. It's true. But do I love the people who are hard to get along with? Do you love the people that aren't like you, that you tend to have a clash with? And by the way, just there's some people that you're just going to clash with. That's human nature. Do you love them anyway? And if you don't, then ask God for repentance. Confess it as sin before God. Because by the way, you're commanded to love one another. And especially within the confines of your local church. If you don't love your fellow church members, that's sin. Confess it and say, God, grant me repentance to love these people. Because by the way, that person that you have a hard time getting along with, God loves them deeply. Amen. Jesus died for their soul. And they're going to spend an eternity in heaven with you. So let's ask God to change our thinking on those things. Let's go to the next area that we ought to pray for repentance. Before we do that, let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, I want to share the scripture with you. At the end of each point, we'll have a scripture to look at. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now, please pay attention to verse 7. Think about it in the realm of repentance. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Notice, sin is likened to a way or like a path, right? But it's also related to your thoughts. Because the reason you go down that path is your thoughts are wrong. You're thinking wrong. You're convinced of a lie, right? And the unrighteous man has thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I think everyone would agree, verse 7 is about repentance. Verse 8, for my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Again, God likens his ways to thoughts. They are related. And he says, you need to forsake your way and your thoughts, and come after me, because my way and my thoughts are not like yours. You know what God is saying here? You need to change your thinking in such a way that your actions will be different. You need repentance. Now look at the next verse, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's amazing to me as well that after God is talking about our ways and our thoughts being wrong, and we need to think and act like God does, that right after that he mentions his word. Because if we want proper thinking, we have to get into the word. So let me encourage you in your own personal life, wherever you're not thinking and acting according to God's word, pray and ask God for repentance and get into his word. And ask God to grant you repentance that you would begin to think according to this book. Because just like he said in Isaiah 55 in those verses, it will do what it was intended to do. And I know we think of that often as a soul winning verse, like don't worry, give the gospel out and God will make sure it has fruit. That's a good application. But the primary application is this. If you and I will repent and think and act like God does, there will be blessings because God's word always works. Because the very next verses talk about you'll go forth with joy and be led forth with peace, etc., etc. So if you want joy and peace, think like God does and act like God wants you to. And the way to do that is to get repentance, pray for it. All right, let's go to the next area. Not only do I need to pray for repentance for me, but I also need to pray for repentance for us. And when I say us, I don't mean us as a church. I mean us as in a nation. I put in my notes, us as in U.S., United States, us. I need to pray for repentance for our nation. Friends, this again is something that God has laid on my heart. If I were a Pentecostal, I'd say, I have a word from the Lord. But I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to kind of give you that idea. I do think this is what God wants us to do. Because it's scriptural. Think about what's coming up in November and the big situation we're facing in November. What we need is we need to pray, Lord, grant our nation repentance. A couple of ways. Number one, we want people who vote to think like God thinks. And only God can change their minds. I can try and convince people and, you know, politicians can put out ads, yada, yada, yada. But only God can change people's minds. Because the simple fact of the matter is, Satan is a liar. And he's good at it, isn't he? And only God can open their eyes to the truth. That's one aspect of it. But there's another aspect of it. Here's when I pray about things and our future as a nation, and I've told you before, you know, I'm concerned about what will happen in November and all that. I'm not fearful, but I'm just concerned. Here's what I think. I pray, dear Lord, please bless us and help us and give us freedom and all the rest. But every time I pray that, I'm also reminded of the fact that, Lord, if you give us good things in this election, it'll only be by your mercy because we don't deserve it. So I'm reminded, you know what? Here's how I pray. I pray, Lord, don't let our nation go on the way she's going and still bless us and give us good things. That's not right. Now, I want blessings and I want good things. I want freedom and I want the stock market to be good and I want, you know, our military to do well. You know, all the things. Every patriotic American who loves the United States of America wants that. But Lord, how can we have that if we're going to continue to go down this road of wickedness? Lord, we need as a nation repentance. God, we need you to change our nation's thinking. Just a few things that are going on. And this is not a comprehensive list. But just here are some things that are going on in our nation that I think God is extremely angry about. One of them would be, listen, we've lost our sense of reverence and honor for our parents. I know that may seem like a little thing, but I want you to understand that's not a little thing. Right. The Bible tells us that that commandment to honor your father and your mother is the first commandment with promise. In other words, this, the promise is, do this and you will live longer. Honor your father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. It is also a promise to the nation of Israel at that time as God gave them the law. The idea being, listen, if you as a society will honor your father and your mother, I will bless your nation. And we as a nation have lost that. And I believe God's angry about that. We need God to change our thinking about that. The kind of things that go on in our American home should not go on. In fact, I believe it was Paul even mentioned that to Timothy. He said that in the last days, perilous times would come, and part of that would be they would be disobedient to parents. And we're seeing that. It's just unbelievable. And then you go into when parents get elderly, sometimes how they're just cast aside. And don't get me wrong, there is a time and a place where a parent needs to be put in a home where they can be taken care of. I understand all that. I'm not saying that's always the wrong thing to do. But there's a difference between that and just casting someone aside like they were, you know, an old piece of tissue. And we have some of that in our nation. That's sad. I think God's angry about that. Another one is on the other end of the spectrum in age. Then we take those who are innocent and still in the womb and murder them in the form of abortion. God's angry about that. We need our nation to be granted repentance. Why do young women get abortions? Because they think that that is the right thing to do. Now, they're wrong. But they do it because their thinking is wrong. Now, they've been lied to by Satan, haven't they? They've been lied to and told that, number one, it's not a human being. Number two, even you aren't a human being. You're just an animal. And that's just a reproductive process. It's a lie from Satan. And they need their thinking changed. Only God can do that. Now, we can help and we can tell them the truth and all that. I'm not saying we should shut our mouths. But God needs to change that. And we ought to be praying, God, change our nation. Grant us as a nation repentance in the honoring of father and mother, in the abortion area and issue. Lord, change us as a nation. Grant us repentance. Let me throw another one out there that is a big deal, from what I understand, is the whole idea of pedophilia. And from what I see, and I don't know details, I don't know numbers, but I believe that is a big deal in our nation. Seen just some clips of some of those news programs where they investigate things, and there are United States Marshals that just spend time in airports in plain clothes walking around, and they look for at-risk children or maybe children that are already being marketed. And they say it is huge. But see, it doesn't stop there. It's not just in the shadows anymore. Right. Now there are places where they're trying to normalize it. By the way, was it California recently just passed a law that 14 years old is now the age of consent? That's pedophilia. That's wickedness. That's sin. That's an abomination before God. That's sick. That one of the 50 states in our union would legalize that. That's sick. But then you have things like some places and people even promoting and professors even promoting that is just a normal way of living if you're attracted to that group. And here's what bothers me. Not that somebody says that, but that somebody says that and that person isn't lynched. And you may not like me using that term. I'm sorry. But a person who says that that's normal and okay, their life should be snuffed out by the people, not by a mob, by the government. The government ought to say, that is wickedness and foolishness, and you need to be gone. Because that lie will spread its wickedness. And then right now on Netflix, from what I've heard in news programs, there is even a movie that normalizes that type of thing in 11-year-old kids. And again, this is not a movie being sold in the shadows on the internet. This is on a normal TV subscription service, Netflix. You see, what we as a nation need is we need repentance. Can God bless us if we just continue to go down this path? And friends, the answer is no. There comes a time where God has to say enough. These things cannot go on. We must have repentance. Let me ask you this. What are you doing about it? Now, I don't like it when people, and this is a common thing in these days, throw things out there and say, here's this big problem and you're at fault. And that's commonplace, especially on social media these days. Here's what I want people who say things like that. I want them to say, here's what you ought to do about it. So let me give you something to do about it. Pray. You might say, well, Pastor, that's weak sauce, as my son would say. But it's not weak. 2 Chronicles says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that was the first point, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's not a small deal to pray about it. It is a big deal if it's real prayer. Now, if you're just going to get on your knees for 5 seconds and say, dear God, please forgive us and change us. All right, back to television. Well, then that's weak sauce. I'm talking about God's people really spending time, spending time and saying, Lord, we as a nation need repentance. God, would you give it to us? Lord, start with us. Lord, start with me. My life's not perfect, God. I need repentance. God, start with me. Wherever I'm wrong, God, change my thinking. God, my pet sins need to be dealt with. God, give me repentance. God, then work in my church and change us as a church that Madison Baptist Church would no longer think like Madison Baptist Church, but rather that she would think like Jesus Christ and according to God's holy word. God, grant us repentance. And then, Lord, also give our nation repentance. Lord, we've got to have it. If we're going to continue as a nation, dear God, we have to have it. It's not just a little request, God. This is an absolute must if we're going to go on. And I think we ought to pray it hard enough that we would even pray, Lord, if you don't give it, then I need to ask you to just take our nation out of the way. Because we can't go on like we are. It's that bad.
Right. Amen.
Lord, we need repentance. Let's pray about it in ourselves and in us as a nation. Let me give you one more. And you know what? Let's turn to Isaiah 59. I keep forgetting to turn to the scriptures. Let's do that. We'll look at just a couple of verses in Isaiah 59, verse 11. Still talking about repentance for our nation. Isaiah 59, verse 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment. In other words, it's things being right, being according to justice. But there is none for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw, notice this, he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Can I pause there and just say there was nobody begging God for repentance? Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness did sustain him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. And was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Notice that in the nation there of Judah, there was no judgment, there was no justice, truth was fallen in the street, and there was no intercessor. God was looking for someone, and there was no one. What about for America? Will there be no one? Are we so caught up in other things? Maybe even good things? Are we so caught up in the little irritations that bother us? And we're so up in arms about some things that we're not on our faces before God, begging God for repentance? Wouldn't that be a sad thing if America ceased to exist and God brought judgment upon her? And in the end it was written, I looked for an intercessor, but they were all too busy being upset about... Wouldn't that be sad? We need to be on our faces before God. I'll give you one more area that we need to pray for repentance. Not only repentance for me, repentance for us, but repentance for them. And when I say them, I mean the lost. We need to pray that the lost will be given repentance. Why are the lost lost? Because they're blinded. They're blinded. When we go down to street ministry, yesterday we went downtown and handed out gospel tracts in the college area, and still a lot of college students mulling around, et cetera, et cetera. And it was actually a good day. We were able to get out quite a few tracts and all of that, and I'm thankful for that. But we get the typical response in some of them, which is the vast majority of people, even when they decline, are very nice. And what a lot of them will say is, I'm good. Why do they say that? Because they really are convinced, no, everything's fine. They need repentance. God needs to change their mind. They need to understand, I need Christ. Even the ones that take it, when they read it, I'm trusting and praying that many will read and many will be born again. But I know also how it goes. Many times they read it and they go, oh, that's interesting. Doesn't really make any sense to me. Now we still need to give it to them. But they need repentance. They need God to change their mind, that as they read that tract, they go, whoa, I am a sinner. I am in need of a Savior. Jesus is the truth. He is the one sent from God who died, was buried, and rose again. He's my only hope. Lord Jesus, save me. They need repentance. And I need to pray about that. I need to pray. Listen, friends, think about your lost loved ones. Think about the people you've been working on for years. Here's a way you can pray for them. God, grant them repentance. That's why they're still lost. God, grant them repentance. Change their mind. Many are stuck in Satan's lie of self-righteousness. Nope, I'm good. Everything's okay. I'm going to get to heaven. God's going to weigh my good works and my bad works. And boy, I've had a lot of good works. So I'll be all right. Self-righteousness. Or maybe because I'm a member of a church, I've been baptized, whatever. Many others, especially here in the Madison area, are involved in what Romans 1 calls creation worship. They worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Many of them do that. And they think that, if there is a God, he's not really that big of a deal, and they're more concerned about the environment or whatever. And they worship the creation. They need repentance. And friends, God can grant them repentance. We need to pray about that. Now, don't get me wrong, you need to witness. There is a time and a place for witnessing. I agree with that and all of that. But friends, we need to be vocal about who Jesus is. Speak up for God. But pray. Pray for repentance. Let me share this last scripture with you, and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. These are some verses you'll be familiar with. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Second Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and by the way, that was the ministry of sharing God's word, okay? Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, we're not going to quit, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If I can pause there and just explain verse 2, the Apostle Paul is saying, we just plainly give out God's word. We're not trying to be fancy with it. We're not trying to sneak it in and, you know, snag men with a fish hook. We're just giving them the truth, okay? Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The lost don't see it. Verse 4, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says, if they're blinded, it's because Satan has blinded them. How is it that I'm not blinded? God shined the light of the glorious gospel of Christ into my heart. That's how I'm not blinded. In other words, what he's saying is God needs to do the same thing with them. If anything's going to happen with the lost, it's not because Paul is a great orator. It's not because Paul is a sneaky salesman. Friends, let me encourage you. Don't think that the key to soul winning is just being a better salesman. Yuck. The key to soul winning is preaching the truth, spirit-filled, yes. Preaching the truth, and God changing the minds of the lost, shining the light of the glorious gospel in their hearts. Now, we need to be vocal. We need to be spirit-filled, but we also need to be praying, dear God, grant them repentance. Open their eyes and show them the truth. And friends, let me encourage you, if you're thinking about someone specific, pray specifically for them. Are they Catholic? Are they thinking that by doing the sacraments that they somehow get righteousness, or that because they were baptized as a baby, their original sin was dealt with, and now they just have to be a good person, and maybe they'll have a little bit of purgatory, but you know they'll get through that, and then they'll be in eternal life, whatever. Is that how they're thinking? Pray specifically. Dear God, open their eyes. Show them the truth that infant baptism does nothing. God, show them that. Make that clear, that the only way sin can be dealt with is not through purgatory, but through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, grant them the knowledge of that. Lord, undo the lie of Satan. Grant them repentance. Pray about these things. And watch God use you and use your life and use your ministry. We need to pray about repentance for ourselves, for our nation, and for the lost around us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do need repentance. Father, our nation needs repentance, and Lord, the lost around us need repentance. Father, would you grant that repentance? Father, you've given us your word. We have no excuse. It is here. The truth is with us. But oh, Father, Satan is such a deceiver. And Father, we're so prone for some reason to listen to his lies over your truth. Father, forgive us for that. We confess even that as sin. We ask that you would allow that as we read and study and meditate on your word, that you would change our thinking to match up with yours. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than ours. And Lord, we want your thoughts and your ways. Grant us repentance. Lord, we think of our dear nation. We thank you for the United States of America. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Lord, you've used this nation in such a great way around the world, even in the life of the nation of Israel. This nation has been so essential. You've used it. But, oh Lord, we need repentance. We cannot go on as we are. Lord, if we continue to go on as we are, you need to deal with us and take us out of the way. But, oh Lord, I ask that you would grant mercy, that you would give repentance, that we would be changed as a nation. And then we could go on to continue to exist and get the gospel to the world. Lord, then we think of the lost around us. They need repentance. Lord, I think of the people that you've put in my path that I've witnessed to and long to see get saved. Lord, they need repentance. Would you grant it to them? Would you use me to share your word with them that you might have the tool in your arsenal to bring them to repentance? Lord, please, would you work now in this time of invitation that we have? In Jesus' name, amen. As the pianist plays a hymn of invitation, if you want to use the altar, you can. If you want to use your seat as an altar there, you can do that. Let me encourage you to ask the Lord to show you anywhere in your life where you need to pray about these things. Maybe it might be repentance for you. Maybe it's for the nation. Maybe it's for others. But you do business with God as He's dealt with you. You may look up here. Thank you so much for being attentive this evening. I want to remind you of the schedule for the week. Remember, Wednesday, prayer and Bible study. Remember, on Saturday, the men's meeting and also street ministry. Remember to pray for one another. Brother Pritchett should be back this week. It'll be nice to have him back. I trust that he's had a good vacation. Has he been good on his vacation, Lisa? He's been good. All right, very good. His mom says he's been good. That's good. All right. So we're excited about having him back. On Wednesday, he should be here. Be in prayer for him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to read just a few of the verses that we read for our scripture reading. So we'll be back in John chapter number 8. And we'll start with verse 34, John 8, verse 34. And then we'll pray and be dismissed. John 8, 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Would you, even in this week, allow that your truth would make us free? Lord, we know that you've said in your word that if we would continue in your word, then we'd be your disciples indeed, and then the truth would make us free. Help us this week to continue in your word. Bless these, your people. Have your hand upon each one. Give them safety. Lord, please, again, protect us from the virus that's going around. Protect our people, our loved ones. But Lord, I pray that you would use us to be a testimony in these days. And Lord, would you give our leaders in our nation and here in this county and state and city, would you give them wisdom to do things wisely and right? I know you can. I ask that you would dismiss us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.